Amen. What a beautiful hymn. If you turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, as I said earlier, this is the last of the healing miracles. All of the Lord's activities are wondrous. All of his activities are miracles. But these healing miracles, as we've seen, as we've gone through Mark's Gospel, are always pictures of the way the Lord Jesus saves his people. And so before us we have this beautiful and simple but amazingly instructive message from God. God the Holy Spirit has chosen to preserve and to write and to give these words to us. And as we well know, without the Spirit's light shining on these words, they are just bits of ink on pieces of paper. But the Lord Jesus says, my words, they are spirit and they are life. So let's just read this simple but beautiful story from Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him here. So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up. He is calling for you. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. If God has given us any sight whatsoever of his truth, the thing that is so evident to anyone who wants to look at the way the 7 billion people who live on this planet now live, and the billions before them have lived for these past thousands of years, the mockery of those who were made in God's image to take Satan as their ruler and to treat them as his playthings. Satan's promise to Adam and Eve, God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. All of the children of Adam have known evil for these past 6,000 or however many years it is. Satan, according to Ephesians chapter 2, has blinded the mind. He has taken humanity captive. We all walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we have those powerful words about the state of all mankind. The gospel is veiled. It's veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And so, as in this story before us, the reality is, it is only God who gives light. It is only God, verse 6 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so all of humanity's history is just a sad tale of blinded eyes. Eyes that did originally see and saw the glory of God are now blind to the God and his glory. They're blind to who we really are and what is our desperate situation. They're blind to who the Lord Jesus is and to what his sacrifice is. And they're blind to the gospel and its power. We live in a blinded world among people who are blind. But thank God that we know that there is a gospel that is powerful to open blind eyes. And that's the state of this man we meet on the way out of Jericho. Jericho is just typifies this world, isn't it? Here we have a blind man in a cursed city. Joshua chapter 6 said that this city was to be cursed and it was not to be rebuilt except at the cost of one of the sons of the man who rebuilt it. And its gates were to be raised at the cost of another son. And yet there was a king of Israel who chose to rebuild Jericho at the cost of his son. It's a cursed city. Like all of this world, it is under the curse of God and kept in darkness and blindness. And Satan, in his craftiness, provides entertainment for that 7 billion people that walk around with us today. He entertains them with trinkets and toys and all sorts of other things. He entertains them with religion. He cries, "Peace, peace," to them all the time. May God open our eyes like this blind beggar. And as we follow Bartimaeus through this part of his life and follow him to Jerusalem, may he be both an emblem and a challenge to us to be like this man. He was in a cursed city, but the Lord Jesus specialises in bringing his people out of a cursed city. There was, in that day when Jericho was destroyed, there was one woman who was Jesus' ancestor. She was Rahab the prostitute. And by Rahab's faith, she saved both herself and others. It's out of the cursedness and out of the darkness that the light of the gospel shines so brightly. So here we have Bartimaeus, a blind beggar. In fact, in the Greek it says that he was Bartimaeus the blind. He'd become famous in Jericho, famous for his blindness, famous for the fact that even though his family name is Honour, now this man sits as a beggar. Nothing, having nothing, able to do nothing but sit by the way. And so it's a great picture of the place that God takes his people. Blindness comes from the Lord, who is sovereign of all things. Why was Bartimaeus made blind? Because God's good purposes would be fulfilled in him. But Bartimaeus did something which we need to be reminded of. We have in this story Bartimaeus in verse 46 sitting by the road. In fact, you can just as faithfully translate those words as by the way. And at the end of this story in verse 52, he began following Jesus on the way. He was by the way. He put himself, and he was put by the grace of God, in a place that was by the way. By the way where the Lord would pass. By the way where he would hear the gospel. As he heard about this Nazarene, he was there by the way. And it's a challenge for us, isn't it? To bring people as we can, by any encouragement that we can, to bring them to a place that's by the way and encourage them to stay in a place by the way. We have here now a gathering of God's people, a gathering of God's people gathered by God himself, and with a promise that here, right now, God has gathered people and God has promised to be with them. And we might just walk by the way to shine light into blind eyes. Today, this morning, church is a place that is precious to God because it is a place where he comes and meets with people. So we need to encourage people to know with spiritual eyes the significance of being in a place where Jesus passes by and comes to meet with people. We need to encourage people to be people, despite the difficulties that they might find, and all of us do in our flesh as we come to read the scriptures. To read the scriptures. And we need to encourage people to be people of prayer, to be in a place where the Lord might pass by. He just might pass by, and pass by with blessing. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, this is a word that was used as a contemptuous declaration about who Jesus is. Jesus the Nazarene, can anything good come from Nazareth? Nazareth was a despised part of Israel, a part of Israel polluted by its closeness to the Gentile world. Jesus the Nazarene. But Bartimaeus, by the grace of God, saw something bigger about our Lord, and he cried out to him. He says, "Jesus, son of David." In fact, in Matthew's gospel, he cries out, Matthew 20, verse 20, "O Lord, son of David." So he acknowledges that Jesus is the Messiah. How could a blind man know that? He'd heard others gossiping about Jesus. After 3 years of ministry, the Lord had shown himself to be the Messiah. The opening of blind eyes is the one miracle that no other prophet of God had ever performed. This was the messianic miracle. And it's why we have so many records of the Lord Jesus opening blind eyes. And so we have from Bartimaeus' lips a prayer to God. And what about what a prayer it is? If any of us are faithful to our friends around, we'll acknowledge the paucity of our prayer life. How pathetic it is in so many ways. Bartimaeus should humble us. So true prayer has these elements in it. It has faith. It looks to the Lord Jesus and acknowledges him. Acknowledges him as Lord. Acknowledges him as Jesus, God's salvation. Acknowledges him as the promised Messiah, the Son of David. And it has humility. Real prayer is humbly seeking from God what only God can provide. Have mercy on me. True prayer has faith. True prayer has humility. And true prayer has perseverance. Many in verse 48 were sternly telling him to be quiet. Why would you, a blind beggar, want to disturb this group? Why would you, by your yelling out and your noise, embarrass us and disturb them? But Bartimaeus kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. True prayer just keeps pleading with God, a God who he has known from the promises, that he is a God of mercy. He loves mercy, our God. There is just so much that we face that is discouraging, isn't there? So much that discourages us from reading our Bible. So much that discourages us from meeting with people. So much that discourages us from gossiping and bragging about the Lord Jesus. All of the world, all of the flesh that's in us, and all of Satan's activities are tailor-made to stop us crying out to God. Bartimaeus is a great encouragement, isn't he? Just keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking at the door. Bartimaeus is a picture of God's children too, that in the sadness and in the difficulties that God brings in our lives, he makes us people who cry out to God. He puts us always, again and again, in places where we are made to know that we have no resources in ourselves, that the problems are too big, the enemies are too great. We need God to do spiritual things. Spiritual things can only be achieved by God coming to his people in mercy. And here we have this remarkable event. There's absolutely nothing that would deter the Lord Jesus in his determined walk. So determined was his path to Jerusalem that those around him, as we saw earlier, were afraid and fearful of what was going to happen. They knew about the enemies just up the hill. But nothing was going to deter the Lord Jesus from marching triumphantly to Jerusalem. Caesar wasn't going to stop him. Herod wasn't going to stop him. Satan wasn't going to stop him. The Pharisees weren't going to stop him. His disciples weren't going to stop him. His family wasn't going to stop him. But we have in this wonderful verse 49 a miracle of all miracles. Jesus stopped. A blind beggar in need of mercy caused the God of this universe, who makes the sun to shine, to stop. It's a wonderful picture of what God does
to his people, isn't it? That there is this intimacy of relationship. He stopped and he calls him. The Son of God will never ignore the cry or refuse the faith of a sinner seeking mercy. Can I say that again? The Son of God will never ignore the cry or refuse the faith of a sinner seeking mercy. And so we have this wonderful word from the Lord to blind Bartimaeus. Call him here. And so they called the man. As much as God is infinitely omnipotent and is able to do all things, he chooses for his glory and the good of his people to achieve his purposes through fallen men. So they called the blind man. That he'd heard about Jesus through men gossiping and talking about the Lord Jesus. And then he calls on these people to say to the blind man, come to him, he's calling you. Take courage, Bartimaeus. Stand up, Bartimaeus. He is calling him. We just have the most amazing picture of the compassion of the Lord Jesus as he walks on his way through this world. He will not leave ever one of his sheep without the mercy needed. He will never leave one of his sheep with faith that seems so weak at times and seems so pathetic without that faith being encouraged, without that faith being fulfilled. It's a blessed blindness that Bartimaeus had had from God. It's a blessed activity of grace that Bartimaeus had heard about this Saviour, this Son of David, this promised Messiah. It's a blessed act of grace that Jesus stopped. A blessed act of grace that he called him. And it's a wonderful act of grace in verse 50. The response of God's children. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. I read in a commentary some considerable time ago, and I couldn't find it just recently, but in India, the cloaks of the beggars were the cloth that they had in front of them, basically often just a dirty, filthy rag that they lay out in front of them, in the place where they could exhibit the coins that had been thrown there and encourage others to gather it. The only means of sustenance that blind Bartimaeus had was this cloak for gathering the coins of people who walked by. He threw away everything he had. He threw away all that he had and he jumped up and he came to Jesus. True faith, by the grace of God, leaves everything behind, leaves everything that this world would provide for us as our security and our refuge. It leaves it all aside and brings people to Jesus. And Jesus asks him a question. The same question that the apostles had asked in this same chapter. What do you want me to do for you? For the apostles, it was a plea for them to have some glory in God's kingdom, to have some place of preeminence. For the blind man, for the man who is going to be shown mercy, he just has one thing. The blind man said to him, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. He called the Lord Jesus Rabboni. He said of him, My Master is what it means. Just a wonderful description, isn't it? Martin Luther said that there are many, many people who go to hell because they cannot use personal pronouns when they're talking about God. They can talk about a God. They can talk about a Saviour. They can talk about a Redeemer. But is he my Saviour? Is he my God? Is he my Redeemer? Is he my husband? My Master, I want to regain my sight. And in Matthew's Gospel, we have the picture of Jesus touching this man. There's just always an intimacy about the Lord Jesus and his dealing with people, like the leper, like the bleeding woman, like the dead girl. The Lord Jesus comes and in grace he touches people. But then we have this remarkable statement. Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. Your faith, it's really saying, has saved you. That is the word there. God's people believe, according to Hebrews 10:39, to the saving of their souls. Faith lays hold of what God has promised and clings to what God has promised and waits for blind Bartimaeus. It had been many, many, many years. Faith waits for God to come and do what he will do to his people in time. Faith causes people to leave everything behind and come to Jesus. Faith causes people to do as Bartimaeus did. He now sees clearly. What a sight that would have been. We have eyes that see things in this world, but God's children have eyes which are spiritual eyes. To the world, Jesus was just a man. To much of this world, to much of this crowd, they were going in a few days' time, or maybe even less, going to crown him, in a sense, King of Israel, through the eyes of human reasoning and wisdom. Here was a man who could restore that throne of David. Here was a man who could deal with our real enemies, the Romans. Here was a man who could make us a nation which would be the envy of the rest of the world. But the eyes of faith see a different Jesus. The world talks about a Jesus all the time, but the eyes of faith see another Jesus. A Jesus who is absolutely sovereign. A Jesus who sits on a throne having finished his work. A Jesus who has promised to come and deal with each of his people individually and open their blind eyes and give them eyes to see him as he really is. This is eternal life, that you may know him. And to know him, you must encounter him. And to know him, you must see him. And so Bartimaeus, who began by sitting by the way, is now following Jesus in the way. Christianity was called the way for the first decades of its existence. It was called the way. As Peter calls it, the way of truth and the way of righteousness. And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Bartimaeus is a picture of saving faith. Bartimaeus is a picture of saving grace. Bartimaeus is a picture of what the Lord had asked the apostles to do in Mark chapter 8. To take up your cross. Whoever desires to come after me, Mark chapter 8 verse 34, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. They are commands from God, but in Bartimaeus we see that they are achieved by the grace of God in Christ. Bartimaeus followed, and you can imagine now the gossip that there was about the Lord Jesus as he joined that crowd, triumphantly going up the hill, singing the songs of Zion, not only now with eyes that can see, but eyes that see Jesus for who he really is. He followed him to Jerusalem. He followed him to Calvary, where the Lord Jesus defeated that one who had blinded eyes from the foundation of the world, from that time in the garden, defeated Satan, who had led Adam and Eve into sin and rebellion. He took upon himself the sins of Bartimaeus. For the attitude of the Jews was that Bartimaeus was a blind man because he was a sinner. In John chapter 9, even the apostles thought that way. People are blind because they are sinner. Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind. And the Pharisees, as they criticise this man for his testimony about the Lord in verse 24 of chapter 9, we know that this man is a sinner. And they said to him, a blind man, you were completely born in sin, and you are teaching us. And they cast him out. The Lord Jesus says, at the end of that chapter, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see. Those who know themselves to be blind, those who think they see, will be really made to see who Jesus is and who they are. And those who see, those who claim to see, may be made blind. And then some of the Pharisees who heard him say these words said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you say we see. Therefore, your sin remains. So there are eyes that see this world through the eyes of human understanding and human wisdom and human reasoning. And in that world, the Lord Jesus is just a man, just a teacher, just someone who tries to save people, but he can't. The eyes of faith see our Saviour sitting on a throne. The eyes of faith see him as glorious. The eyes of faith are like Bartimaeus, and they go leaping and bounding and saying, I'll walk with you to Jerusalem. I'll walk with you to Calvary. And no matter what this world has, no matter what this world offers, no matter how attractive the things of this world are, all of that will be to me just filthy rags that I'll leave behind for the sake of seeing Jesus in his glory. Let's pray.